Our watchword this week comes from the 17th chapter of Jeremiah, the 7th verse. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. You may be seated.
please stand for the call of worship. O Lord, you are the hope of Israel.
Blessed is the one who trusts in God.
For those who trust the Lord need not to be controlled by fear or paralyzed by anxiety.
We lay down our fears at the cross, for we know all wonderful deeds God is capable of.
Let us join together to sing for the beauty of the earth.
Remain standing and turn to the general liturgy. It's on page 1 if you're following along in the hymnal. O Lord, our Lord, your greatness is seen in all the world. We give thanks to you, for you are good. Your love is eternal. We glorify you, majestic Lord. We praise your holy name. Sacrifice which you desire is a humble spirit. O God, you will not reject a humble and repentant heart. If we confess our sins, you are just and will keep your promise. You will forgive our sins and purify us from all wrongdoing. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, humbly confessing our sins. Please be seated. Most holy and almighty God, our Savior, we confess our disobedience. We, like sheep, have gone astray, all of us turning to our own way. We have sinned and done wrong. The good that we knew to do, we have not done. We know that we have been unworthy servants and have fallen short of your glory. Help us, deliver us, and forgive our sins, O God of our salvation, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Thus says the Lord, I am the God who blots out your transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember your sins. Go and sin no more. Please stand. Lord, make us one in spirit with all your people as we profess our faith, saying, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
As we turn our hearts and our minds to our offering, let us now remember that today is a day to be grateful for the gifts that God has given us. And that if we truly take time to count the blessings that have been bestowed upon us, there are so many gifts that each one of us have been given in abundance. So let us give of that abundance and give to God. And let us present our tithes, offerings, and gifts. pray together. Dear Jesus, help us to serve the poor, the sad, and the hungry, for they will be rejected by many. But in the kingdom of God, they will be blessed for all eternity. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn our hearts and our minds to a time of reflection and to a time of prayer. First and foremost, let us pray for Vicki Eichel, who continues to remain hospitalized at Union. She started dialysis on Friday and is looking forward to getting some strength from those treatments, and she continues to do well and continues to grow stronger. For Jim Eichel, who was hospitalized this past week with a GI bleed, we pray for his continued strength and recovery, and prayers for answers as well. Prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Patricia Poole, who would be Mike Poole, his mother, who passed away last Saturday, and a service was held yesterday in Hilliard, Ohio. So our prayers are with the Poole family, with Mike and Tracy and Rain, as they mourn the loss of Patricia. For Lynn Capretta, who continues to face many health issues and tests that are upcoming, we continue to pray that they find some answers for her and that she continues to get stronger. We offer sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Brock Bennington, which would be Linda Bennington's great-nephew, who passed away this past week. And also we give thanks for Janie Martin, Ron Martin's mother, who got her prosthetic leg this past week, and we celebrate with her and wish her well in her rehabilitation process as she continues to stabilize and strengthen with that. So let's take some time in silence and invite God in this time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, each one of us today give thanks for the gift of life, for each one of you have blessed us with such a precious gift that we get to live this world, share this world, and enjoy this world together. And when it gets hard and when it gets difficult, help us to come back to that foundation that you created us to enjoy life, to love life, and to be the fulfillment of your creation. But gracious God, we realize that there are some times we do not feel fulfilled. There are times when our cup feels empty. And we think especially of those who are struggling right now, those who are going through difficult hardships. We think of those who are sick right now, of Vicki and Jim and Lynn and for Janie. And we also offer prayers of sympathy and resurrection hope to the family of Mike Poole and to the family of Brock Bennington. And may they be surrounded in love and comfort at this time, that they may know that you, God, are truly taking care of our needs even before we know them. And when we think about our world this week, help us to take care of one another. As we look at our needs and we look at our wants, help us to remember that none of us need for anything, because you, God, will take us exactly where we need. So as we go forth in our world, help us to take giant leaps of faith. Help us to reach the sick, the hungry, those in need of faith, love, and friendship. For we know that your call to ministry brings us out into the world, and that you need hands and feet in the world, and that we are called to be that. So as we go forth, call us to serve in love and faith and hope. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from Psalms. It is Psalms 1, can be found on page 383 if you're following along in the Pew Bible. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruits in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Our gospel today comes from the sixth chapter of Luke, verses 17 to 26. Jesus teaches and heals. He came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to false prophets." May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. At this time, I invite the children to come forward for the children's moment. So good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Tired, sleepy? Yeah, got some people need some coffee. So what we're going to talk about is who God blesses in our world today and how we learn to surprise in our sermon. So I'm going to borrow our helpers today. I'm going to have Katie, I'm going to have you sit on one side, and Allie, I'm going to have you sit on another side. So we're going to play a game. We're going to figure out who God blesses. So I want you to pretend that Katie, a successful business major, has made a ton of money, and she's going to make all this bank. She gets all the joyful noise in the world. There we go. And Allie over here has struggled to turn a little profit over here. She's struggling, just trying to make ends meet. So if you had to choose who to help, who to bless, would you choose the rich person, Katie, or would you choose the poor person, Allie? Who would need your help?
Friends too.
So why would you help Allie? Why would it be more important to help Allie, Paige?
Because rich people kind of don't care about the
poor. Sometimes they have a hard time understanding. Katie probably wouldn't even notice if you threw some nickels. She'd probably buy some more dogs or something, have some fun over there. So let's reverse. Let's get back to the middle. And unfortunately, a great flood hit Katie's business, and she didn't have insurance for it. So now Katie is starving. She doesn't have any food. But Allie was smart, and she got insurance, so she got a nice payoff. So now you are at church, and you have food at your food bank. Who are you going to bless? Are you going to bless Allie, who has all the food, or are you going to bless Katie, who needs the food? You can even give her a group hug right there. So why would we help Katie?
Because she
Why would Katie need our help? Tyler? She doesn't have any food. And those are the people that we are called to help out the most. So let's get back to the middle. So once again, there was another reversal of fortunes. And unfortunately, Katie's newfound social life, where she got to meet a bunch of people at the food pantry, made her a popular person. Everybody loves to hang out with Katie. Everybody's going back to her shop. And she's got a ton of friends, and they all gravitate to her. But poor Allie over here, she's a deep thinker, and she has a trouble socializing with people and getting to know them. And so you are called as a church to reach out to somebody and to help be a friend of them. Who would you be a friend to? There you go. So why would Allie need your help? Paige? She has no friends. And it's important to reach those people. How many of you at your school have something called a buddy bench? Maybe your school is going to get those soon. Do you have one yet, Paige? What are those for? So if somebody needs a friend at your school, somebody sits at that buddy bench. So your challenge as a missionary going out into your world is to look for those people at your school. Because it seems easy in this example to say, oh, Allie needs some friends. But it's harder when you sit at a lunch table at school and you see somebody who's isolated or struggling to make friends, or you see somebody who's sitting on a bench who's alone. So not all of your schools have one, but Andrew Wilsterman, who's the chaplain, or I'm sorry, he's with CCO at Kent State University. He mows a lot of people's backyards. But one of his missions in this community is to put a buddy bench in every single school so that these kids can reach out to each other and help somebody. So hopefully by the end of the year, there'll be a buddy bench in each of your schools. And I want you to think about when you see somebody sitting on that bench, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus run to the people that are all rich, famous, and popular, or would he help the people in need? And that's really your call because you have the opportunity. Who would Jesus help? All right. And I want you to remember that. When you have the opportunity to help somebody, you can help them in need. And right now we're going to help those of our kids going to Convo. We're going to use Katie's rich coffers over there to fill some money up for our joyful noise offering. And this is going to go help our kids on their Convo trip. So can you guys collect for me? Raise your hand if you haven't had a chance to put one in the... Somebody want to get Mr. Karcher back there? Millie needs somebody too. And then Doug and Amy. There you go, Paige. Anybody else? All right, come on, you can put them right over there. Thank you all very much. I think our Convo kids are going to appreciate that. You know, come on up, Brandon. You did a good job. Yeah, I hear all that chain shaking. Y'all did very good. So let's get in our circle, and let's have a moment of prayer. Gracious God, we ask that you bless these kids in their home life and in their school. Help them to reach out to somebody who could use a friend. And when they're struggling, help friends come to them. Because we realize that we are at our best as missionaries, as children of God, when we know that we are loved and supported and friends to all. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much. You may remain seated as we join together to sing, "Blessed Are the Pure in Heart." Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears to the words that you inspire today, and help each one of us, carry out your words in faith, love, and hope. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. So our gospel message for us today focuses on Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. It is one of the more famous messages, not quite as famous as the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew, but a very, very pinnacle one. It's interesting to compare those two. But I was reading different translations of the text that we had today, and I found myself intrigued when I read the Common English Bible. Some of you might be familiar with that one. And let me share it with you. Listen to the differences in the gospel that you heard. Happy are you who are poor, because God's kingdom is yours. Happy are you who hunger now, because you will be satisfied. Happy are you who weep now, because you will laugh. Happy are you when people hate you, reject you, insult you, and condemn your name as evil because of the Holy One. Rejoice when that happens. Leap for joy because you have a great reward in heaven. Their ancestors did the same things to the prophets. So there's a big word change when you go from the Common English Bible to the NRSV. It goes from blessed to being happy. And it got me thinking a lot about that. What is the difference between being a happy person and a blessed person? I want you to think about that. What are some of the differences that come to your mind? Because I found myself wondering this week, is there really a substantial difference between being happy and being blessed? Or is this just a matter of word choice between different authors of this text? So the first thing we do when we attack this question is we go back to the beginning. And when we look at the word blessing, we have to uncover what Jesus meant by being blessed and to put that word into context. And we have to realize we have a much different view of blessing in our culture compared to the biblical world. Nowadays, if a football player scores a touchdown in a game when his team's down 35-7, he considers himself blessed. We are blessed if we get a bigger tax return than expected. I know Steve Pasquinelli in the back would be happy with that. We consider ourselves blessed if we get the last parking spot at Walmart on a busy Saturday afternoon. We even consider ourselves blessed if we win $5 on a scratch-off, and we say, thank you, Jesus, for that.
And I encourage those of our young people in our congregation to go to Twitter today and look up hashtag blessed and see what different things people give thanks for. And really ask yourself, is that something that would rise to the level of blessing? Because these are great things that people receive. Well, are they what Jesus would consider a true blessing? Author Jennifer Kennedy Dean points out the Greek word for blessing is makarios. Makarios. And she said the word makarios was used by secular Greeks to describe the state of their mythical gods who had everything they needed and they were completely satisfied all the time. The Greek gods wanted for nothing. So therefore, when we look at the difference between happiness and being blessed in the original Greek, blessing has an enduring quality to it. It means that happy people are kind of dependent on the ups and downs of the day. But blessed people let blessings take root not only within their heart, but within the very eyes that they see the world with. Their blessing lasts. And a good example of a blessed person, when I was thinking about this, I was really hard, working hard to come up with an example. And the best example I came up with was one of the janitors at my local high school in Watertown, Wisconsin. And the funny thing is, I can't even remember the man's name, but I can remember his smile. I remember what it looked like. I remember how he proudly smiled every single morning we walked into that school. And I never remember this janitor without a smile. I think that's a telltale sign of a blessed person. And I'm sure when he was a little boy, being a custodian was not his dream job. But that did not stop him from making the impact on hundreds of kids and adults who walked in that school every day. He was always upbeat, happy, and there was no task beneath him, no matter how many years he had on the job. He took pride in what he did. He took pride in the school that he served. And subconsciously, I think he was showing the student body in his own way that his happiness was not dependent on all the things that high schoolers valued at the time. Am I cool? Do people like me? What group do I belong with? He was teaching, he was carrying a different message. And when we think about the message that Jesus had to the people on the Sermon on the Plain, it's important to remember the poor people that Jesus preached to with this message had no social mobility. There was no possible way for them to work themselves up. Because if you are impoverished, or worse, a slave in the ancient world, there's no American dream or piggy bank to fall back on. Every day, these people prayed for food, and you had no clue if God would answer that prayer or not. I think many of these people would laugh at how many Americans today would define hardship. And it should be a reminder to us that if these people were able to find silver linings of blessing in their hardships, why can't we? Why can't we find those same silver linings when we have so many blessings around us? And then finally, look at who the woes in this passage are addressed to. The rich, the well-fed, those who laugh, and those who put their faith in others. Because the important thing to remember is that God has no interest in our bank statements at the pearly gates. And for all the praises uttered about us on this earth, God doesn't worry about those either, because God isn't taking character references either. What God will be looking at, what God will be judging us on, will be upon our hearts. Did we carry God in our hearts? Did we have the faith? And did we return that with love to others? Because you can be a Grammy Award-winning musician. You can sell out every venue you play. But God probably cares the most about how you treated a 6-year-old fan who approached you on the street when nobody was looking. Those are the moments God is watching, when you think nobody else is. The same thing can be said about corrupt billionaire CEOs who give millions to charities every year. What good is their charity if their billions came from their refusal to pay their employees a respectable living wage? For God teaches us, for every dollar an impoverished person gives is far more valuable than whatever large sum a corrupt person can give. And I think when you get down to the nuts and bolts of what Jesus is teaching us, is a reminder to once again look upon the hearts of others. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, one of my favorite verses of Scripture. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Remember that. Don't judge people by their wallets, the food they have, or even their outward appearance. God calls you to dig deeper. For people who take root in the blessings of God can trust God and praise God in all circumstances. They are able to smile in the midst of the storm, and they are able to stay humble when the world wants to crown them as royalty. For if your heart belongs to God, the fringe benefits aren't nearly as important as the eternal benefits. That's what's important. So therefore, let us stop putting so much energy and effort into filling our bank accounts and caring what others think about, how many Facebook likes we are getting, how many Twitter reshares we are getting, how many people are coming to our parties. That's irrelevant. God's not counting that. God's not keeping track of that. But imagine if the world invested all that effort into being compassionate and caring for one another, instead of our selfish need, but we took control of being compassionate and caring. And if we really invested in that, I have a feeling that Christ's vision for the world that we heard today wouldn't be so revolutionary. Because if we made compassion a way of life, Jesus' dreams, Jesus' visions would come true. And I promise you, brothers and sisters, the day we carry out that vision that Jesus has for the world, we will see it in all its beauty and all its splendor. And what a wonderful world it will be. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, I ask that you remember that we are blessed people, that every day we take root in that. No matter if our day is wonderful, no matter if our day is terrible, help us to stay anchored in you, gracious God. And when it looks to the people around us, help us not to judge on what we see, on the money our friends have, the popularity they have, or the emotional struggles that they have. But help us to look truly upon the heart, to look beyond appearances, and see that the God in me recognizes the God in you. For when we see that, by your grace, by your power, and by your glory, we can truly change this world for the better and live out your vision with faith, hope, and love in all times and all places. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in song.
Thank you.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.